evening. This is Peter Hammond in the studio for From the Frontline. And we have in the studio with us Aubrey Lawrence, one of our missionaries just back from Uganda. Welcome back, Aubrey.
Thank you so much. Good evening to all the listeners.
Now, Uganda is a strategic Central African country. It's surrounded by a lot of troubled countries, Rwanda, Congo, Sudan. It's not far from Ethiopia and Somalia. Uganda's right up in the highlands. It's at the fountainhead of the White Nile, which comes from, amongst others, Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria, one of the largest freshwater lakes in Africa. And it's a land of great history. Henry Morton Stanley first took the gospel, then persuaded the Muslim king to convert to Christianity, and missionaries like Alexander Mackay did tremendous work there. Now, Aubrey, what led you to head off to Uganda?
Well, there was a conference held by Dr. Krawendam, from evangelism conference, and it was a good opportunity to attend the conference to learn about more about evangelism, and then also the opportunity to do further mission work and ministry in Uganda. So I jumped at the opportunity, and what a privilege to learn from Dr. Krawendam and also to serve with the Church of Uganda in Uganda.
Now, Dr. Krawendam has been working in Uganda for something like 30 years.
Yeah, at least 36 years he's been working there.
And he's how old about?
He is now 83 years old.
And he's still working in the field. Outstanding.
Yeah, and it was maybe some story. One time he was flown out of a country, out of a certain region to Kampala because of bleeding in the inside. So he had many, many stories to tell, planes that have made crashes on the when they're landing and things like that. So it's amazing that he's not afraid, always coming back to do ministry and training and teaching future people to do evangelism.
Now, this is a professor from the Netherlands who was already theologically trained before he was converted and came to Christ, and now he's got a very powerful apologetic and evangelistic ministry.
Yeah, that's correct.
So there was also someone we know from Frontline, one of our good friends, Al Baker. He was also part of the team. Can you tell us something about Al Baker's ministry?
Yeah, well, Al Baker came also to teach there. He's a very encouraged and a good street preacher, and he taught us on evangelism as well. And it was also so nice to see him in the field taking people out to do evangelism, doing himself some open-air preaching, and also giving guidelines to people that's doing open-air preaching. So, yeah.
Okay, so what are some things that you learned there? Let's start with what you learned before we get to what you actually did.
Okay, so evangelism, how do we start a conversation? And always when we evangelize, the main thing that we hope, or at least I hope, is that I know more about this person's religion. I have some idea to convince him my religion is true. Well, that have changed maybe a while ago, but just when I went to this evangelism course with Dr. Krawendam, the main problem is the heart. The heart is desperately sick, the Bible says, above all things, and they just show the problems. If you take Adam and Eve after they've sinned, they run away from God. And they, maybe we ask their sons, were they good examples? Well, the one killed Cain killed Abel, and we just see until a point in history where God said he is sad that he's made mankind, because he's plans were continually wicked and all the days of his life, and decided to destroy them. You know, and after that, we go through the history of the Bible again and again, and there is not much hope. You see, the Israelites, well, this is the commandments God gives. No, we'll obey them, but then they fall back all the time. It starts with the Hebrews, later the Israelites, and just rebelling against God. So, main problem, the main thing that it was focused on, the heart of the problem, is the problem of the heart. And what I've also learned is that God give every person on earth common grace. How common grace is oxygen, common grace is glasses that we put to read, common grace is a glass of water that we drink. Anything that we receive from God is common grace. But here's the thing, we'll always use the common grace God has given us to sin against him. You know, and that's the real problem. It shows just the desperately sickness of the heart. And then we have done things. The second thing I've learned in the past that is wrong, we have a forfeit past, guilty before God, that we want to assure us we will escape judgment. But God is very clear in the Bible, we will not. So a guilty past and then a poison in the future. Continuously we have a poisonous life. So it's just focusing on the depravity of man and the reform way of sharing the gospel.
Well, the people in Uganda should be well aware of the total depravity of man. They have since independence gone through hell and high water and the fires of persecution. One of the books I read was the Ugandan Holocaust, on the Ugandan Holocaust in the days of Idi Amin. Idi Amin and his regime slaughtered about 650,000 Christians in Uganda, including the Archbishop of the Church of England, the Anglican Church in Uganda. He actually killed him with his own hands and ate him. He had his fridge stocked full of the body parts of his enemies who he would snack on and eat, believing it would give him the power. And he's a witchcraft follower, but he's also a Muslim. He declared Islam the official religion of Uganda. The persecution of Christians in Uganda was absolutely hideous. And when they finally got rid of him, the Obote years before were bad. The Obote years after him weren't that great. The country's gone through such trauma. Although right now there's religious freedom and one can praise God for that. But obviously, this is a country that's been deeply broken, torn apart, has suffered much. Are the people in Uganda that you came across, are they aware of the history? Are they aware of their depravity and the sinfulness of man?
Well, surely the older people that I spoke to, and they know what have happened in the past. And it's very printed in on their brains and that they know, their minds that they know. It's a real privilege that we can worship God as Christians freely because the previous president, one of the previous presidents, were a staunch Muslim and pushing for Sharia law and pushing. He was uneducated to start off with and just killing people left, right and center, Christians, for their faith. So, yeah.
But the younger people?
I'm not. It doesn't seem like they know the history. As we also moved in, and maybe later I can speak more about it, it is they get funding from UNICEF, and I mean, they're just going to corrupt the history. They don't know what have been going on, so they are humanistic in their terms and atheistic in the terms of pushing history that's been taught in schools that we must respect all religions, but and then you don't respect Christianity at all because they are oppressing the Christians, they kill the Christians. So no, I don't think that the younger people for certainly do not know the history like the old people do.
It's a very treacherous thing that we're seeing in many parts of Africa where UNICEF, that's the United Nations Education Fund, are providing textbooks for schools. Not only for state schools, but even many Christian schools have been forced and fooled into accepting these free textbooks, which are full of evolutionism, situation ethics, secular humanism, and all kinds of evils, including moral relativism. And it's poison. It's dangerous because the philosophy of the textbook in the classroom in this generation becomes a philosophy of government in the next generation. So, Aubrey, what then did you do? What kind of ministry opportunities did you have in Uganda?
Well, maybe I can just tell one story what happened. We are going on a bus ride to close to the border of Kenya and Uganda, and it's about, I think they said 6 to 8 hours at the longest, and then the bus broke down several times. So I used the opportunity. I mean, this is God is sovereign over everything. We see that in the time of the book of Jonah. He's sovereign over the storm, but the people is making, worshipping him by sacrifices, also the fish swallowing Jonah. So this is an opportunity to share the gospel. Actually, it was just after we did a Discovery Bible study on Jonah chapter 1. Here we are in the midst. There is a Muslim mosque. There's a Muslim school and a lot of teachers sitting there. I don't know what they wait for. And I walk over and I said, well, I'm from South Africa. I have my friends here from America. And I'm here to encourage them. But can I encourage them? I have good news to share with them. And they said, yeah, we want to listen. I said, but before you will appreciate any of the good news, you need to hear the tragedy, the dilemma of man, that man finds himself in, has started with. There's three problems and then the three solutions and what the opportunity to share the gospel while the bus is breaking down. And opportunities like this have happened many, many times. We find yourself, we're either on our way and there is 5 minutes, 10 minutes that we have nothing to do. And you just get yourself into conversation. Ask the people, there was a lot of Americans, there were some older Americans, there were younger Americans, but also then to take action and said, guys, I want you to go and play with the children. But the main thing of the playing of the children and to share the what does the Bible say? What is the problem of man? What's the solution? What's man's responsibility in calling out to God? And so many opportunities to share the gospel. So that's what that why I went there. And then later as well, I'll maybe just talk about my later ministry with the Church of Uganda.
So breakdowns can be a blessing.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. So if you found even a Muslim school open to the gospel, are the people in Uganda particularly open to preaching?
Well, for sure in the rural areas, that was outside, quite a far way outside the city. And people were just coming from the village. As soon as we were there, maybe 15, 20 minutes, I started to share the gospel. I encouraged the other people to share the gospel. My voice was giving trouble at that time, so it was going away. But the people just continue to come from the village, and they want to hear. Now, I might say that I can be critical and say, well, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They wanted money, wanted this and this and this. But at the end, God's word will continue. And God also say through his servant Joseph that what you've meant for evil, God used for good. So that's what we trust in, and the sovereignty of God, even in all things. I would like to tell one instance where I was so encouraged. We walked, it's our first outreach in a town called, in a city called Entebbe. And I remember the guy's name, he told me his name, John. But as we walked to him, you know, he stopped his work immediately. He asked one question, what can I do to be born again? That's what he wants to know. We have not spoken a word to him, nothing. He said, what must I do to be born again? And that's what he wanted to know. So, is that serious? It sounded very serious to me when he said, I want to be born again. What must I do? So, yes, God work.
Yes, so, in Uganda, we see statistically that this country has got a huge population, something in the region of 40 million people. And according to this, 85% claim to be Christians, although we see a third of those would be Roman Catholic. But a full third are Anglicans, Church of Uganda, or Anglicans. 14,000 congregations, over 5,000 members, over 12,000 adherents and affiliates. And it was to the Church of Uganda, the Anglican Church here, that you were invited in the second 2 weeks of your month in Uganda.
Yeah.
So you were with a really strategic, fastest growing church actually in Uganda.
Yeah. And maybe just to say, this is not just the church having an influence through preaching on Sunday. They have lots and lots of schools. They have hospitals. They have clinics all over the country. So what an opportunity for them, and what a privilege they have to have an influence on every area of life. I mean, if they can't get them in the church, they can get them in the school. If they can't get them in the school, one day some of them is going to get sick. They can get to them in the hospital. So, and it's not just a hospital like we have in our country or in America. They have chaplain services every morning. I spoke at three of them, chaplain services at the hospital. They have this chaplain people, and even the reverends going to see people in the hospital. They are sick. They may be from a Muslim religion. They say, well, we're going to speak to them because there is really, there's a lot of other religions, but there is no solution. There is no hope. There is, first of all, no hope to have security and peace with God. And there is no hope for eternal salvation with God if you're not if you don't have Jesus Christ. So yeah, what a privilege that we had, and what a privilege the Church of Uganda has. And they must not neglect it. Once again, they must not fall what the United Nations pushing. We want you to accept the homosexual ideas, that they are fighting very hard against it, but also that you can have abortion, because actually the population have grown in this time. When I was there, they said it's about 47 million. And they said, we must implement abortion, the United Nations saying, to get the population down. Because there's no jobs, there is no things. And once again, I just show that God have given us common grace, enjoying sex inside of marriage, enjoying your wife, children are a blessing of God. And what does mankind do? He uses it for opportunity to sin against the God of the Bible by killing children that's made in his image. Children that he said, after our likeness we've made them, he's killing them through abortion. And they practice pushing that. And there is backstreet abortions going on, like in all countries. But if the people do find out he had a backstreet abortion, there's going to be consequences. They hate abortion at this moment. They hate the homosexual ideas that's being pushed upon them. But they must be careful. The United Nations are there. The UNICEF textbooks they are using. Once again, I've spoken out strongly against that. It's not just the gospel that we need to transform our mind. The whole of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we need to preach and hold to the truth that God have taught us.
Now, it was a person who participated in our Biblical Worldview Summit about 8 years ago who invited you to your last 2 weeks of ministry, which was so packed and productive.
Yeah, his name is Monday, and he was very energetic. He's quite, he's not very strongly built, but I must tell you, in Cape Town, we have some mountains. There where they are, they have lots of mountains. They're used to hiking, they're using to traveling. So yeah, it's encouraging to see Monday, Pastor Monday, working is have a great love for reading, and something that we do not often see people having in that they have in Africa. But this pastor really have a love for reading, has a love to visit people, has a love to see what's the future opportunities, what can we make, how can the Church of Uganda be revived, and really preaching that you must be born again. That is, he said, that's what we must emphasize. When you are here, you must be born again. It's not just enough to grow up in a Christian church, in a Christian home, and of all this education, Jesus Christ needs to give you in your heart.
Indeed. Well, and this brother was a part of the Christian Action Network as well, and part of the Anglican Church in Uganda. And give us some of the statistics. How much ministry are they packed into your time there?
So I arrived, for instance, on the Saturday evening, and the Sunday, and they said, can you preach for us 3 times on Sunday morning? And that was 3 church services in the morning, one after another, and 3 different sermons. So that was quite interesting. And then the next week, on Monday, they said, you can go and speak, and we just want you to meet the people in charge. And then I went to the people in charge, and the guy said, the bishop in charge said, I want him immediately to go to the radio station. He's going to speak on the radio station and then go and see other people. So I went to see other people. And then in the next week and 2 days, I had 6 conferences on evangelism. And I've done some ministry in Africa, and I've seen people coming in big numbers to conferences, but not like in Uganda. People were standing and outside, sitting outside, women, children, men, sitting outside to listen. And we've learned, after we've spoken, they come and say, after I've spoken, they come and said, we've learned. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And at least they get that point. That's why they need Jesus. And again, they've learned, you know, where do we start to evangelize? We always think, we must start the Muslim tribes, we must start the Karamojong tribe that is very much still using animism and ancestor worship. We must start there. No, the point is to start with our homes, with our children. We must evangelize them. You know, they need to know the gospel, and something that Dr. Kramadam also pushed, that we start to evangelize our children and tell them that they must be born again, and then to train and to shepherd their hearts so that they one day know what the Bible is saying. We are trusting God for a supernatural work. So they have a jam pack. They had so many meetings. I did not have the day of rest, but I had good food. I had a very good place to stay. And then I was traveling with the mission coordinator of that specific area. So what a privilege I had in ministering as well to different, a lot of different churches.
So you did also quite a bit of open air preaching.
Yeah.
Give us some of the examples on that.
So it's in different areas, and this was especially with the team of Dr. Krabendam. So I told the people when he arrived there, we have limitations. First of all, we will have a big team of 20 to 28 people that's going to do evangelism, and then we'll have maybe 6 to 8 translators. So I said, this is our limitations. There's a lot of pastors. We need to use each opportunity to reach the most people. So I said, you're going to need to do open air preaching, one after another, one after another. So I was in my team, and I had 2 other men in my team that were willing to do open air preaching. So we'll go systematically through stories. I'll tell the story of Adam and Eve. I tell the story of Abraham. It depends on the people that's listening. Are they Muslims? If they're Muslims, we'll start with especially the Old Testament stories. I think it's vitally important to start with creation and getting that from Paul when he's talking to unbelievers, or not unbelievers, but people that is from not a Jewish background, not a Christian, or do not know about Jesus Christ. He starts with creation, the God that have created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in there, and then progressively end and showing man's problem and showing God promising in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 25 to 27. First of all, he's promising us a new heart. He's promising us, he's cleaning us from all our filthiness, and he's removing all idols from us, and then he's putting us, his spirit inside of us, and his spirit causes us to walk in his ways and to be careful to obey his rules. So yeah.
And so you also had a chance to do prison ministry.
Yeah. So this was, we were walking. Actually, let me tell you the story. We're walking up to the mosque, going to evangelize on the Friday. So in South Africa, we do some Muslim evangelism. Well, this was much different. These Muslims were radical Muslims. They were shouting Allah Akbar and grabbing the one lady's arm. I was quite scared. And said, we're going to marry her. She had a black belt in karate. So her dad later told me he wished the guy took his try his chance. But anyway, they were shouting and we're walking past the prison. And I said, guys, this is the opportunity, but we must ask them. So I walked in there, and the person doesn't really know. And he said, yeah, just come back on Sunday. There's a good time for ministry. So on Sunday, we went in, and there were some logistical challenges. But at the end, they said, oh, you have time, free time. And while I was speaking, the rest of the team arrived. We're now 20-something, almost 30 people there. And then the person that are in charge of the team said, of the prison said, you can have as long as you want. You can have all the time. So what a privilege we had. We sang hymns to them. We preached. And we asked questions that they must answer themselves one day. So that was a really a blessed opportunity. The prison ministry in there, where can they go? They are sitting there. I said, this is the three problems. You've done things wrong in the past. You know that. Why? You're a rebel. But and to show the poison continuously. But once again to say, there's a solution. Jesus Christ is a solution. But yet, your mind must be transformed through the renewal of your mind, your thinking process. So, yeah.
Mm. Wow. So, how can we pray better for the people in Uganda? What would you advise us to understand and to be able to pray wisely for this very strategic Central African country?
Well, first of all, I just want to explain maybe something I think that's important. Our people, a lot of times they'll say, we are Christian, we are born again, but they do a lot of things. They said, well, this is part of my culture. It's part of my culture that the men sit and drink beer and the woman does everything, and it's part of my culture. This, no, that is not if you're Christian. The problem is you are rewired wrongly. You are rewired in your sinful nature. You are saved by God's grace. You are one of his people, but still, he's not just given us the 4 gospels on how to get saved. Our mind, our life must be transformed. So it's the studying of God's word. So pray for people. Pray for people that seeking to make a change, that want to teach on the whole counsel of God, not just on the Gospels, but from Genesis, like I said before, to Revelation. They must teach on that. And basically, biblical principles for Africa, that God is God, not just over salvation. God is God over marriage. God is God over government. God is God over finances. God is God everywhere. That they'll get back to biblical principles for Africa. Pray for people. There's a missionary I've met. His name is Jim from America, and working with the street children. But when they are opening their mouth, that they'll preach what the gospel, what the Bible says. When people are saying, not just sharing human philosophy, and I think that's a great danger there, that man is born good and is getting corrupted through his environment, and the Bible doesn't say that. Man said, the wicked are astray from birth, they are stopping their ears like a deaf cobra. Psalm 58 verse 3 and 4. So that's what the Bible says. That's much different. So pray for people that is making a difference, that's standing up. Pray for the Church of Uganda. They must make decisions. They are maybe sometimes short on funds, and they are getting these opportunities like this golden calf that's presented from the United Nations, from UNICEF. And I told them, if they're going to get money from them, they will push their propaganda, whether it is secular humanism, atheism, or whatever. They're going to push them, try to push that in. And once again, Dr. Krabbendam said, you know, where the people and where I am not biblical reformed, the devil will get his foot in. If he can get his foothold in, he will try to get his whole body in and things like that. And pray for that. And then pray for unity amongst Christian believers. And pray for them that they will be productive and effective in winning Uganda for Christ and working for revival and for reformation.
Yes, indeed. And of course, you did take as much literature as you could, but of course, there's limitations with air travel. What we need to pray for is couriers. So if any of our listeners travel, make sure that you don't go empty-handed. Whenever you go to any area in the world, wherever it is, you need to be sowing gospel seed. You need to get good gospel literature, gospel booklets, whether from World Missionary Press gospel booklets, or whether from Chapel Library. Take gospel materials. And if whenever we know of people who are going into any of these areas, whether it is the Middle East, whether it's North Africa, wherever it may be, we're wanting them to take parcels. If they can take a few parcels of books, great. If they can only take a few things in their carry-on baggage, or maybe some digital libraries and CD format or data DVDs or in flash drives or even SD cards, the point is there's so much hunger for good gospel literature throughout Africa in particular and the Middle East, and we need more couriers to deliver the things there. So if you're traveling for any purpose, whether for work, business, holiday, whatever it is, make sure you contact a gospel ministry near you and see what literature they can provide you to deliver to the people. And of course, Uganda, the hunger for literature there is huge, is it not?
Huge, and they are reading, so it's incredible, and a high percentage of them are educated and able to read. So, we must get books. We need to get good things, challenging them on their worldview, directing them to a biblical worldview in their hands.
Now, do you have plans to return?
Well, I'm invited for different places. Here's one thing. We would really like to do a Biblical Worldview Summit in Uganda, Lord willing, and we're working on plans for that. The Church of Uganda have the capability and the places where they can organize it. They are very keen. So we're looking in the future, what can we accomplish? What can we do? So, please support us, whether in any means that you can, praying and whatever. So, and pray that God will open doors and that we get the right people. I do want to say, if Uganda is going to be one for Christ, it will take multi-generations. It's not just going to be in my generation. But we are working. We are the first seeds, like Alexandra McRae many years ago. Now we're coming, and we're coming again, and we pray that God will send more people. And if you have the possibility and you have training, and you can go there, go and make a difference wherever you are.
Yes, Uganda is right up there in the highlands. It's got the third highest mountain in Africa. They've got a mountain, well, it's called Mountains of the Moon, which has snow all year round.
Yeah.
And they've got the gorillas. By that we mean the hairy ape-like gorillas running around in the mist up there and very high up. Uganda is not only a fountainhead for the Nile River through the Lake Victoria and the other Great Lakes, but they border some of the most troubled countries in the world, Rwanda, Congo, Sudan, and they are literally on the borders of Kenya and Tanzania as well. They've got Lake Victoria. They're very central. So if the Ugandan church gets well equipped and mobilized, they can be a phenomenal blessing to the countries around them. Uganda has been involved in a lot of the wars around. They've been involved in the Great Lakes Wars and the Congo and so on. And of course, some of the people have been affected by the Sudan War. The Lord's Resistance Army was a Sudanese terrorist group that went into northern Uganda. We've had to travel through Uganda on our way to Sudan many a time, and often just stopping off to rest and have a meeting and en route. But Uganda on its own should be a mission destination too, and that country can be a great missionary sending country. So let's pray for Uganda. Let's get involved. Now, Aubrey has written an article, Uganda for Christ, which is in the latest Frontline Fellowship News, which will be going to at the printers right now. We'll be putting that up on the frontlinemissionsa.org website. So if you go onto frontlinemissionsa.org, you'll see articles and report backs from Aubrey, and also on Aubrey's prayer page, reports on other of his missions, Africa Overland Missions, and plans for the future. So pray for Aubrey, pray for his wife, Taryn, and daughter, Emma, and for their ongoing work, despite being married with a young child. Arby's continued to do the work across the border and as far up as the equator. You would have crossed the equator on this mission too. And bear in mind, Uganda is a mission country right on the equator, smack in the middle of Africa, and at one of the highest locations too. So, Aubrey, any last words for listeners before we sign off?
Well, I do want to encourage you to do evangelism. I whether you're using Way of the Master, whether you are James Kennedy's way, EE-free, whether you're using whichever way, but always remember that the person that's always going to, in South Africa and America and England, they will say, God does not exist. Here's the problem. They're using standing in God's creation, created his body, created for you are created in his image, in his likeness. That person is using his oxygen, that person is using his food, and he's making the statement, God does not exist. The first problem is a rebellious heart. You see the rebel. So unless they get, and using apologetics, saying, there is evidence God have made, there's very much evidence. But the problem is not the evidence, the problem is the rebellious heart, and that needs to change. And pray and ask God by His Holy Spirit to change people's hearts as you evangelize and minister. So do the work of evangelists. Paul is instructing Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5. So do the work of the evangelist. I want to encourage the people.
I see that Aubrey has concluded his mission report with these words from Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. It's quite clear from the word of God here in Ezekiel 37. There's to be a heart change, a heart transplant, a spiritual transformation, which should go from our heart to our head to our hands. It should affect our thinking. It should affect our doing, our actions. Let us not be satisfied with anything less than justification and sanctification in discipleship. We have to go the whole way. We cannot be satisfied with just a idea of regeneration, because regeneration must lead to transformation. Justification is the first step towards sanctification. As Christians, we should not be settling for anything less than making disciples of all nations, teaching obedience to all things that the Lord has commanded. It's absolutely vital we have a full gospel, body, mind, and spirit, head, heart, and hands. Thank you so very much. God bless, and good night.